Caribbean countries are giving different responses to aspects of how they deal with the spread of the coronavirus. We see examples of this in the actions taken by Jamaica and Trinidad, as against how Barbados has dealt with it. In Jamaica, all travelers from countries where there is a local spread of the virus will be required to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. And Trinidad has imposed a 14-day border lockdown. Barbados, on the other hand, says that's not our approach. Prime Minister Motley explained why on television last evening.
But we also have to be conscious that as a small island of 166 square miles, almost everything that we use, everything that we do, has an international component. And therefore, the question for us has always been, will more people be affected negatively in a major way from closing the borders than from screening properly ahead of time, making sure that we do the temperature checks for people coming into Barbados, making sure that we are now adding to that declarations. We've been in conversation with the various airlines to more pre-screening. But we're also conscious that in any event, that there are decisions that people will make on their own. We believe we have to follow the science. We recognize, however, that the news cycle has also triggered people to take more decisions that may not necessarily be rooted in the science. And therefore, to some extent, what we are also facing is decisions that are taken by countries that can feed themselves, countries that have the capacity to do whatever they need to do to sustain equipment and a whole host of other things that people may need for day-to-day living. And ultimately, if we get to that stage, we will get there not by reason of the government making a decision alone, but because we have gone and we've consulted all of the stakeholders. Over the course of the last 10 days, we have been almost in daily consultation with stakeholders. This will continue. And with respect to the earlier behavior, for the first 6 weeks, it wasn't really an issue because we didn't ban people, but we said that if you were coming from China, if you were coming from Italy, if you were coming from South Korea, if you were coming from Iran, that you would, if you did in fact come to Barbados, you would have to be quarantined. Because the flights from the UK have so many more people, and because Barbados is so much more dependent on the UK, the taxi drivers, the hotel workers, the people working in laundries, the people working in restaurants, think of how many tens of thousands of people in this country are going to be affected once the borders close. Now, we accept that we're dealing with a disease, outbreak, that will affect probably 3 to 8 out of every 1,000 in a fatal way. But we may, in fact, affect far, far more if we immediately close our borders, ensuring that people who depend on a weekly wage or who for whom this is the only source of income may not be able to feed themselves, may not be able to buy what they need day to day to sustain their families. And one of the reasons I have taken the decision to have Mr. Carter appointed is that he went through all of this with Ebola.
She's talking about Richard Carter, who spoke to the issue of school closures as well.
We have to weigh very carefully the consequences of the dislocation that will happen if we go to a premature closure of schools, because children are then exposed to a range of other things that we would ordinarily not want them exposed to. The Prime Minister mentioned a number of them, and we saw the outfall and the consequences of this in Sierra Leone, and we've seen it in other places where schools, there have been mass school closure because the childcare responsibility, the responsibility for instruction, the responsibility for the integrity of social relations, the strain that will be put on parents who are now concerned that their children are at home and therefore they themselves in terms of their commitment to work waivers. There's a whole raft of issues that follows out of a decision that like that. And obviously we don't want to make a decision like that lightly.
Richard Carter. And this has been Sagicor's Early Business.